Chapter 4. The Moods of Intimacy and Sweetness. Although Gop Kumar had arrived in Vaikuntha Dham, his heart did not feel satisfaction there. I had a similar experience recently in Bombay. We had been invited to stay in the home of a wealthy gentleman there. Upon entering his home, I could not find my way around that place, really. They had a very beautiful floor which was shining like a mirror, and I actually became confused. Just as Duryodhan became bewildered in the assembly house of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Mahaprabhu and his devotees would not go to the house of any king because the lust of worldly people can be very contaminating. Seeing their opulence, we will begin thinking, my home should be like this, my ashram should be like this. Then, not being able to acquire such things, this lust will intensify within us. So instead, we left and stayed in the home of an ordinary family. In Bombay, there are even people who are thousands of lakhs of rupees more wealthy than that gentleman who had invited us. Therefore, what can be said of the enjoyment available in the heavenly planets? We cannot comprehend such opulence. If we were to go there, we would forget everything of this world. So if we were to go to Vaikuntha, what would we find? There the opulence is even greater. There is such an abundance of happiness there that anyone who enters Vaikuntha will never have a desire to leave. There is so much beauty. No one ever becomes old or diseased. There is no birth and no death, whereas in heaven there is. Up to Maha, Jana, Tapa, and Satyalokas, there is birth and death, but there is no trace of them in Vaikuntha. There is always new and fresh happiness, an opulence of the highest standard. Even the soil there is Chinmaya. Kalpa Taravo Druma Bhumis Chintamani Ganamaya Toyam Amritam Kata Ganam Natyam Gamanam Api. Brahma Samhita 5.56. The trees there are Kalpa Taru, and the land is Chintamani Mayi. The water is nectar, the talking is singing, and the walking is dancing. This is the nature of Vaikuntha. But Gop Kumar was feeling dissatisfied there, and Narad said to him, "This is a very grave matter. Here I see that your face is withered in worry. How is this possible? Coming here, no one can remain unhappy. But I see that you are. What is it? Is there anything you are lacking? Or is something else making you unhappy? What is it?" Such unhappiness will not be felt by everyone there, but only by a special person. If, for any reason, someone is unhappy there, they won't be able to express it to anyone. Such intense unhappiness cannot be expressed even to your mother, father, brother or sister, but only to a bosom friend. By some means, he will remove the thorn, and he will understand your feelings. Narad can see inside all souls. He knows everything. With his eyes closed in meditation, he ascertained the reason for Gop Kumar's unhappiness and became very pleased. Why is it that seeing such unhappiness in another, he became pleased? There is one story related to this. When Uddhav went to Vrindavan, he saw that Nanda Maharaj was wailing in lamentation, crying for Krishna. Krishna was such a wonderful son, but now, leaving Nanda behind, he had gone away. Nanda was very unhappy. But what was Uddhav thinking? Today, we are supremely fortunate to receive the darshan of such an exalted personality who is actually crying for Bhagavan. In the materially conditioned state of life, everyone is crying for themselves, all for themselves. When a brother dies, For whom is the family crying? For the brother or for themselves? It seems that they are crying for the brother, but really they are not. If my brother had lived, then he would have given me all sorts of help. Now I am helpless. This is what they are really crying about. Father has died. If he had lived, then very easily all of our desires would have been fulfilled. My wife has died. She was very beautiful and a great servant. Seating us comfortably, she would serve us food and water and everything. Now she is gone. And the husband is left crying. But is he really crying for the wife? Really, he is crying for himself. So if, in any situation, a father is crying for a son, we can understand that actually he's crying for himself. But what Uddhav had witnessed was Nanda Baba really crying for Krishna, not for himself. Such deep Krishna prema was inside him. We should also aspire to be a little like this. If even one time we shed a tear that is actually for Bhagavan, then our lives will be meaningful. But our hearts are not yet melted, and therefore while chanting Hari Nam, our hair does not stand on end. Mahaprabhu himself said, Nayanam galada shru darya, vadanam gadgada rudaya gira, pulake nichitam vapu kada, tava nama grihane bhavishyate. Sri Shikshastaka 6. Hey Prabhu, when, while chanting your name, will tears flow from my eyes like waves? When will my voice tremble in ecstasy and the hairs of my body stand erect? What is the meaning of bhavishyate? When will that opportunity come? That one day, while chanting Harinam, tears will come from our eyes in a continuous flow that will never stop. When will we be trembling and feeling our hearts melting? Sometimes rolling on the ground, sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, and sometimes singing. Uddhav witnessed all of this and thought, today I am so fortunate to have the darshan of such a great personality. But what will I say? You are the most fortunate person. I am unable to say that. Should I tell him to go on crying? Or should I try to console him and tell him not to cry? In this world, if a man is crying for Krishna, that is actually desirable. I desire to have sentiments like that also. If he is really crying in Krishna prema, he is the most fortunate person. But how can I say anything? Cry or don't cry? I cannot say either of those things. What can be done? So Uddhav could not speak even one word to Nanda Baba. Seeing the divine ecstasy of Nanda Baba, Uddhav felt that on that day his life had become successful. And a similar sentiment came into the heart of Narad upon seeing the condition of Gop Kumar. You are so very, very fortunate. Even here in Vaikuntha, you are unhappy because you want Narayan to be Krishna. You want to take the cows out to graze with him, and you want to live with him. You want to put your arms around him and embrace as friends. You want Krishna to say, hey Gop Kumar, bring the cows over this way. The cows are thirsty. Give them some water. And with great love, you will follow the order of Krishna. You want that sometimes Krishna will embrace you, and sometimes you will embrace him. That you will eat together, and even with unclean hands, you will place food into each other's mouths. That sometimes, when Krishna is sleeping on the bed of Yashoda, you will arrive at his bedside with your body covered with dust of Vrindavan and say, hey, don't sleep now. The cows have arrived at the door. Let's go. So you want to do all this, and it can be very easily achieved as a sukha. But what does Narayan do? When you go before him, he lifts his right hand in bestowal of blessings. May all auspiciousness be upon you, saying, Namo Narayana, Namo Narayana. Everyone is offering pranam to him. He lifts his hand and gives his blessing. You will be fearless. All good fortune shall attend you. You want to race to embrace him. You want to play the flute with him, but you are not able to do any of this. You desire to sleep on the same bed with him at night, but by cleverness and trickery, or by some other means, Lakshmi Devi sends you away. And when you don't leave there, what does she do? She calls the doorman, Jayan Vijayan, and says, "He is not obeying me," and she has you removed. And when you sing Sri Krishna Gopal, Hare Mukunda, Hey Govinda, Hey Nanda Kishore, Hey Krishna, Hey Sri Yasoda Tanaya, Hey Sri Balavi Jivana, Hey Radhikesha, be merciful to me, and play the flute and express a desire to take the cows out to graze, all the residents of Vaikuntha abuse you and say, "Hey, what are you saying? Narayan, Prabhu, the controller of the controllers of all the worlds, you are calling him Gopal, and you say that you will take cows out to graze with him? You want to make him the guardian of cows? You say he is a milker of cows, that he is the lover of some cowherd women, and that he is the son of a milkman? You say that entering the home of a milkman together, you and he will steal yogurt and sweets? You call him a thief? You are disrespecting him. You should be saying that he is Vishnu, who possesses thousands of heads. You should be glorifying him in the form in which he gives blessings and good fortune to all. How can you say that he is a milkman, a thief, and a liar? You shouldn't do this." Saying this, they will all make jokes and laugh at you. Some say, "My friend, it's true that Narayan became Krishna, and for his own pleasure and the amusement of his devotees, he performed some pastimes. But those pastimes are not important. This is Vaikuntha, not Braj. You shouldn't speak of such things here." Hearing them speak like this, you constantly feel ashamed. Suppose a cowherd boy, such as Sridham or Subal, were to go to Dwarka to see Krishna. They would see that Krishna is seated there in the Royal Sudham Assembly House as Dwarkadish, the Maharaj of Dwarka. Ugrasen, Vasudev, and all the elders of the Yadu dynasty are seated at his side. Garga Rishi and many other big sages are seated in front of him. His sons, Samba, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna, are seated at his left side. And behind a curtain are Rukmini and Satyabhama, along with Dwarka and the other queens. Now, if some Gop Kishora arrives in that assembly, how will he appear? In cowherd dress, with a bent stick in one hand for guiding the cows, and a bamboo flute in the other. It will be early evening, and having just returned from taking the cows out for grazing, he will be very dusty and in need of changing his clothes. If he arrives in that assembly, he will want to embrace Krishna, but Krishna will only sit quietly, glancing at the gopa only once and not again. That poor fellow would have come with such high expectations, the expectation that Krishna, by his quality of bhaktavatsalyata, or possessing special affection for his devotees, will call me to come and sit near him. But that would not happen there. Instead, someone would say to him, "My friend, step this way." Then the cowherd boy would see all of the opulence there and think, "Oh, look at this umbrella, and look at this chamara, look at all these people." Then he would look at himself, feel ashamed, and go away from there. In that place, Rukmini and Satyabhama and the other ladies are decorated with ornaments as queens. So what would happen if an ordinary lady with red gunja flowers in her hair and wearing no costly jewelry went there? Therefore the gopis never go there, because they would not be respected. Narad was thinking, "This Gop Kumar has such a high position that he considers Krishna his dear friend. So he will never be satisfied here in Vaikuntha. His swarup will not be recognized here. its full glory will not be realized. If any of us are ever fortunate enough to attain the swarup of a gopa or a gopi, then if we were to go to heaven or Vaikuntha, we also would not like it there. Perhaps Narad would come to us, ascertain our internal state, and think to himself, she is special, she is a servant of Radhika. But he wouldn't tell anyone, he would just silently offer pranam. He would understand that our swarup is not right for that place. The guru can always understand. Similarly, Narad saw the internal sentiment of Gop Kumar, understood the situation, and became very pleased. Then, after thinking about what to say and what not to say, he said, after taking your pulse, I'm thinking that the disease which you have is not an ordinary disease. The cure for it cannot be found in this Vaikuntha. There is no medicine for it here. And by staying here, the disease will only increase. But I will now tell you how your disease may be cured. You require affection which is free of all reservations. This is called Vishrambha Bhav, the mood of intimacy. In Vaikuntha, there is only Sambrahma Bhav. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 417, it is said, Aishwarya janeti shabha jagat mishrita, Aishwarya stitila preme nahi mora prita. In Vaikuntha, there is prema, but it is weakened by Bhagavan's servants' awareness of His Majesty, Aishwarya. They are serving Him with awareness of all of His opulences, and therefore they are a little fearful. Sri Ramchandra is seated on a bed, and Hanuman is seated below. Crouching down on cold days, he will massage the feet of Ramchandraji and cover the Lord with a quilt. He is serving with prema, and Bhagavan is pleased. But there is a more intimate type of prema, which is called Vishrambha. The prema of Jai, Vijay and Lakshmi Devi is not Vishrambha. It is Sambrahma, which means that they are aware of their own insignificance and therefore feel a little fearful. Bhagavan is not fully satisfied by this type of service. But if we try to serve Him with the mood of Vishrambha in our conditioned state, it will be aparad. Although it is written in the scriptures that Vishrambena Guru Seva, in the mood of intimacy we should serve the Guru. Here the purport of Vishrambha is that we should understand the Guru to be a friend and serve Him as we would our mother, father, brother or friend. When a friend in your family comes to your house, you will not need to be told, your friend has come. Offer him a nice sitting place and bring him something to drink. Automatically you will do it. Therefore, a servant who is uttam or topmost will understand his guru's desires and automatically act to fulfill them without receiving any specific order. Serving without having to be told, this is a symptom of the uttam servant. One who serves his guru after being told is a madhyam or intermediate servant. Then there is another type of servant to whom the guru will say, go send for such and such Maharaj. This servant will answer back, but Guruji, now it is early evening and it is becoming dark. The guru knows it is becoming dark, but he has given his order. It doesn't matter if it's dark, just go. Then the servant will say, but Guruji, on the road there are many dogs. The Guruji will reply, never mind that, take a stick with you and go. But what if I go to Maharaj and he's not there, then what will I do? What can such a servant do? From the word sevak, remove the se, and that leaves vak. Vak means a crane, a hypocrite devotee. The crane stands in the water on one leg as if he were a great renounced devotee in meditation, But as soon as a fish swims by, he will snatch it and eat it, and then return to his pose. Therefore, the Uttam servant is a real servant, and in a general way, we can also call the Madhyam servant a real servant. But one who is argumentative is not a servant at all. If we don't understand the heart of the Guru, then how will we understand the heart of Krishna? Therefore, those people who desire to go beyond Vaikuntha should serve their Guru with Vishrambar love. If someone is hiding something from his Guru, and before his Guru his heart is not open, then how will he be able to go before Bhagavan? This is the very foundation of Shiksha, instruction. By honestly serving the Guru, we will learn. Narad observed that this Gop Kumar is a big Vishrambar Sevak, and therefore Vaikuntha is not tasteful to him. Therefore Narad will now start explaining Haya Tattva to him. Look here in Vaikuntha, everything is Chinmaya, and here Bhagavan has thousands of forms. What is the meaning? There are many forms of Varaha, many forms of Meena, many forms of Kurmadeva, Nrsinga, Vamana, Parashuram, and all others. It is generally understood that there are 24 types of Leela avatars, but there are not merely 24. There are so many that they cannot possibly be counted. But one incarnation is not different in quality from another incarnation. They are residing in different chambers of Vaikuntha, and all of them are eternal. Yes, Bhagavan is one, but he appears according to the gradation of the bhakti of his devotees. The same one Bhagavan will be seen differently according to the nature of one's bhakti. On the banks of the Yamuna at Kaliyahrida in Vrindavan, a sage named Subari Rishi was performing austerities for 10,000 years. But because Garud was coming there and eating fish, Subari Rishi became angry and cursed him. Due to this offense, material desire arose within Subari Rishi. Next, by his mystic power, he assumed 50 forms, married the 50 daughters of Mandata Muni, and created 50 palaces with 50 gardens. He arranged them in such a way that they would put Indrapuri to shame with their exclusive facility for enjoyment, and he lived like that for the next 10,000 years. His grandchildren and great-grandchildren had all grown up, and one day Mandata Muni came there and said, "I have lived without my daughters for so long that now they don't even remember me, and they have no desire whatsoever to come to their father's house. What has happened?" Then he looked around and thought, "There is such opulence here. This is why my daughters have no desire to ever return to visit my home." These 50 forms which Subari Rishi assumed were Kaya Vyuha forms. When he would lift his hand, all the forms lifted their hand. In Kaya Vyuha expansions, if the original speaks, then all will speak. If he sleeps, then all will sleep. If he moves, then all will move. One form is real, and the rest are copies. But Bhagavan's incarnations are not like this. All his forms are independent. There is one special point concerning the Aishwarya or opulence of Dwarka and the Madhurya or sweetness of Vrindavan. In Dwarka, Krishna marries 16,000 queens. In one palace, he is playing dice. Somewhere else, he is giving cows in charity to a brahmana. Somewhere else, he is performing a marriage ceremony. In another palace, he is performing a fire sacrifice. And in other palaces, he is engaged in other activities. All of his forms appear the same as his original form, and there is no difference in quality between them. Here, by Aishwarya, Krishna has manifested into many, many different forms. But all of them are one, in that all are all-powerful and all are full of all opulences. Each queen is cooking and offering him preparations. And in one palace he is eating dal and puri. In another palace he is eating a rice preparation. In another palace he is eating sabji. In another palace he is eating pakoras. And in another palace he is eating sweet rice. By Aishwarya, as the possessor of all Shakti, in Dwarka, Krishna expands into many, many forms, and all of the forms are real and independent. But what happens in Vrindavan? It is not a land of Aishwarya, opulence. There, over and above opulence, is Madhurya, sweetness. How can we understand this clearly? In Braj, there are not just 16,000 gopis, but millions. And between every two gopis is one Krishna, or between every two Krishnas is one gopi. It appears like this. Here we mustn't even imagine that this is done by Aishwarya. It is Madhurya. What is the meaning of Madhurya? That which is suitable for his pastimes in human form, Naralila. And that which is opposed to Naralila is Aishwarya. For example, upon seeing the universal form of Krishna, Arjuna became astonished and said, "By calling you friend, I have committed a great offense. In the future, I will never again call you friend, and never again make you the driver of my chariot. I have committed a great offense." This was Aishwarya Buddhi, awareness of Krishna's majesty, and was not suitable for Naralila. After witnessing Krishna's killing of Kamsa, Vasudeva and Devaki forgot about lovingly feeding him milk. This is another type of sentiment which is not suitable for Krishna's Naralila, and therefore it is Aishwarya. But in Vrindavan, when Krishna lifted the massive Govardhan hill, Yashoda felt proud and thought, "Today our son has lifted Govardhan." But the feeling that Krishna was her son did not leave her. Krishna exhibited his opulence of being all-powerful to lift Govardhan, but the sentiment that Krishna was her son never left her heart, and she simply thought, "My son is so strong, there is no one in the entire world stronger than him." In the confusion of divine separation, the gopis were speaking to a bee. "Hey messenger, we will never have an intimate relationship with Krishna, never at any time, because he is very crooked, a big liar, and very deceptive. We will never trust him, and we will never be able to establish any friendship with him." "Why? He is Bhagavan, isn't he? Purnamasi has told us that he is Bhagavan, and we have faith in that. In his previous birth, he was Ram. He has now appeared with a similar, beautiful, dark complexion that hasn't changed. He is supposed to be a great renunciant and never be controlled by a woman. Yet, overpowered by a woman, he went to the jungle with his wife. He had all the marks of a sadhu and wore the dress of a sadhu, and yet went to the jungle with his wife. His wife said, 'Aryaputra, there is a deer as beautiful as gold. Please catch it for me, and then we will take it to Bharat. If you cannot catch it alive, then after killing it with your arrow, from its skin we will make a beautiful seat suitable for the king's throne. Sitting upon it, Bharat will be greatly pleased, and in the future you will also sit there.' Lakshman at once said, 'That deer form is the Maya of a Rakshasa. Please don't go.' But Ram didn't honor what Lakshman said. He said that he would never be overpowered by a woman, his wife's, and he came under her control. That's the kind of person he is. Then another woman came, and he cut off her nose and ears. She came begging for prem and prepared to give him everything. Is there any fault in that?" Ram appeared to possess all of the beauty of the three worlds. So considering the general nature of the female class, There was certainly no fault in her. But what did he do? He cut off her nose and ears. And he killed Bali, the son of Sugriva, from a hidden position, instead of fighting directly in front of him. We have also heard about what he did to Bali Maharaj. As Vamanadeva, he asked for 3 steps of land, and Bali was prepared to give it. Then he assumed a massive form and snatched everything. The daughter of Bali said, "This is not the same form in which you had asked for the 3 steps of land, so we shall not give it to you." Then Bali said, "It's all right, let it be." But his daughter said to Bhagavan, "No, I will kill you. I will give you poison and kill you." And therefore she came later as Putana to do just that. At first, being attracted by his beauty, she had desire to have him as her son. But upon seeing his cheating ways, she then wanted to kill him. Could she be blamed? Then Vamanadeva bound up her father, even after he snatched away everything that came within the measurement of his 3 steps, just as a crow snatches a fragment of food and then kicks away the basket from which he got it. So we certainly cannot see eye to eye with Krishna. The purport of what they were saying is that they knew that he was Bhagavan because they had faith in what Purnamasi had told them. But in spite of knowing that he was Bhagavan, still his pastimes in human form were the dearest to them, and they became immersed in that loving sentiment. In the confusion of spontaneous love, they were saying that they would never be able to have an intimate relationship with him. This is an example of Madhurya Bhav. In Vrindavan, it appeared that Krishna expanded into millions and millions of forms in the Rasa Lila, but actually he didn't assume more forms. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has explained in his commentary on the Bhagavatam that there was only the one original form of Krishna, and he danced with such speed and dexterity in the arena of the Rasa that sometimes he would appear here and sometimes he would appear there. And so each gopi thought, "He is dancing only with me, appearing like a stick which is burning on one end and being waved in a circle. With inconceivable speed and dexterity, he was moving amongst them in the circular formation of the Rasa Lila." We have seen dancing actors in our village near Varanasi who would perform for 4,000 or 5,000 rupees. One of these dancers would stack pot after pot with plates between them on his head, and on top of everything would be a plate with many candles on it, and dancing in such a way that not even one item would fall. He would move with so much speed, it was incredible. So if an ordinary man can dance like this, then how can Krishna dance? One and the same Krishna was dancing amongst millions of gopis at the same time, with inconceivable speed and dexterity. This is Madhurya. What is suitable for Naralila, his pastimes in human form? He assumes separate forms in Dwarka by Aishwarya, but in Vrindavan it was not Kayavyuha incarnations or expansions, but the same one Krishna moving amongst the gopis, causing each gopi to think, "He is dancing with me only." This Madhurya is not present in Vaikuntha, so Gop Kumar was not satisfied there. After taking his pulse, Narad said, "It is a great thing that you desire. Therefore, I must help you to understand the higher points of Tattva. For going to Golok, it is necessary to know all this." Thus ends chapter 4 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.